Welcome to Bike Tourist Podcast, show number 8. My name is Gabriel, and welcome especially if you are new to this show. Today we have Mr. Paul Stockton from Toronto, Canada, who is an avid cycle tourist, and we are going to share his experiences on the road as well as the equipment he uses. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Gabriel.
Okay. First than anything, talk a little about yourself so everybody know who you are, where you come from, what you do for a living, and then we go into this tourist issue.
All right. Well, I live in Toronto, where I'm a computer programmer. Despite that, I'm a bit of a Luddite, so I don't use this fancy Skype stuff before, so bear with me if I have problems. But I've been touring since 1995. I have a Trek 520, which I've been using for years. Works great. But in the last spring, I bought a recumbent to use on a tour. And I did my first tour on a recumbent this summer on in the Gaspé Peninsula of Quebec.
Yes, I was reading your journal on Crazy Guy on a Bike. And you have this is not the first tour you do. Talk to us about the other tours you have made. Quite a few, right?
Yeah, I think I've done about 10 tours. First one was in 1995. I did the California coast. Since then, I've done Oregon coast. I've cycled around Lake Ontario. Did Northern California. I've done New Zealand, I've cycled across the Alps, and I did India.
That's why a pedigree. Okay, yep. So about the first gear you were using for your tours, you mentioned your bike, it was Trek, right?
Yeah, Trek 520. It's, you know, great touring bike. I just used it off the shelf without any modifications. A lot of people like to modify them before they use them, but I toured with it right off the rack for many years. It worked great.
Okay. Tell us about the change from upright to recumbent. Many people still don't see recumbent as an alternative for touring, but I'm convinced it is the right bike. Tell us, what's your experience had been since you owned your recumbent?
Yeah. When I got the recumbent, what my thinking was eventually I would like to cycle across Canada. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to be in the saddle every day for, 3 months, it would be nice to be comfortable. And I've seen recumbents and they look very comfortable. So I thought, that's worth checking out. And so I bought one last spring. And as I said, I used it for a 2-week tour in the Gaspé this summer, and it is. It's a very comfortable bike.
Yeah. What model of bike do you have?
I've got the HP Velotechnique Street Machine GTE. So it's a German-made recumbent, which is built specifically for touring. So it's all set up with all the racks and everything, so you can carry all your gear. It's a short wheelbase recumbent with underseat steering.
Okay, perfect. Okay, what gear, since you have been almost 10, 12 tours, what can you advise our audience as equipment-wise, what to bring on a tour, what not to bring, according to your experience, your personal experience? And also, is there a difference when you were riding on your old bike, upright bike, as far as things you can bring and cannot bring, and when you switch to recumbent, how was the change? What can you advise first-time tourers from your experience?
Okay, everybody's different, so you have to figure out for yourself what works for you. But in basic, first-time tourers tend to carry too much stuff, and they end up being weighed down or sending stuff home partway through. So you want to keep it to a minimum. So I usually just have, three t-shirts, three sets of socks, a couple pair of cycling shorts, and each day when I get to the campground, I'll wash everything out, let it dry overnight, and have the next pair for the next day. So you don't need a lot of clothing beyond that, for off the bike, you'd have a pair of long pants. It's better, to bring something other than jeans because denim is heavy, and if you wash it, it takes a long time to dry.
Yeah, that was a question I was going to ask you. There is in the part of Canada you were riding, there's a lot of rain. How stuff get dry out in there?
I was really lucky because I hardly got any rain when I was there, and I have friends who've done that area before and got a lot of rain. But I was lucky. But usually, what I do is I wash my stuff out overnight, hang it up inside the tent to dry. In the morning, if it's not dry, I just stick it on the back of the rack to dry as I'm cycling along. If it's raining, of course, you have to put it in your bags damp.
Okay. Speaking about the switch of bikes. I have heard that heels are the recumbent weak part. But by reading your journal, it seems that you had a wonderful time on the heels. Tell us about
Yeah.
it.
They always say that recumbents can't climb hills, and the reason they say that is because you can't stand in the pedals. Now, when I was on my upright bike, I never bothered standing on the pedals anyways to go up the hill, so it didn't make a difference to me. The main thing is just get low gearing on your bike, and if you have low gearing, you can spin up the hills. Now, when I was in the Gaspé, there were hills that were, 15%, which were tough on the recumbent. Now I was wobbling going up the hill, but it would have been tough on an upright bike as well. So I don't think it really made much of a difference.
Well, 15 grade. I just can. There's one hill over here, in the city of Guaynabo, that we call the Pachanga Hill. It's yeah, I think it's close to that, but I don't think it's that steep. It's long and steep, but I just every time I see this hill, I just turn around. Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. I know that strong, you know.
These hills in the Gaspé were probably the steepest hills that I'd ever done. And I was definitely cursing those hills all the way up, but I made it up without a problem.
Okay. Oh, how much weight do you carry on your trips?
After my previous tour, I actually weighed all my equipment, and it came out to 38 pounds without food or fuel.
So you basically travel light. Your bike is not light either. I think the HP Vale, I think it weighs like 30 something pounds. Am I wrong?
I believe it's like 32 pounds. Plus of the extra weight for I've got the extra racks and stuff on there, so it'd be a little more than that. So yeah, it's not a light bike, but it's for touring, you don't need a super light bike. You just need one that will carry all your gear, and you just take your time and get to where you're going.
The trek, how does it compare in weight? I know that touring bikes are tends to be heavier than regular road bikes. How much was the weight for the bike?
I don't remember the weight on it, but I know when I pick it up, it feels a lot lighter than the recumbent does.
Okay. Tell us, do you have any upcoming tours that you plan to do in the future or maybe this year?
I don't have any set plans. There's a few things I've been thinking about. like maybe a tour of Southern Ontario or one around Georgian Bay. Or I've been thinking about maybe following the Trent Severn Waterway in Ontario, but I haven't decided for sure what I'm going to do next.
Okay, talking about resources for the bike tourists, what was your best information source for planning your tour? I know that you mentioned a book that everybody used and then everybody cursed because the information is not clear. Can you tell us about it?
That was probably the one when we traveled around Lake Ontario. There's a guy who's written books on traveling around each of the Great Lakes, and so it gives you directions for the entire route on each of these for each of the lakes. But there were a few spots where the directions weren't quite clear, and so we were cursing him a little bit. But in the end, it was good information, and in general. But yeah, it depends on where you go, what kind of information you can get. For instance, on the west coast of the U.S., there's a book called "Bicycling the Pacific Coast" by Kirkendall and Spring, and 99% of the people cycling the coast have this book, and it's like the Bible of the cyclists on the coast.
Okay, can you tell us the name of the book so people can take a look at it?
It's "Bicycling the Pacific Coast," and it's by Kirkendall and Spring.
Okay, that's cool. Any other kind of information source or association or that you know of there in Canada? Because we are down here in the States. In my case, I'm in the Caribbean, so we don't have access to many things. What else do you use for information or websites or stuff that you use for planning?
The other good one is, again, it's in the States. It's the Adventure Cycling Association. And they're a non-profit organization that promotes bicycle touring. They publish a magazine, comes out, I think, 8 times a year. It's geared specifically to bicycle touring. They put out the annual Bicycle Tourist Yellow Pages, and from there you can get information on cycling all over the world.
Okay, I was reading on one of your journals that when you switch to the Recumbent, I think this is the Gatsby, that you had a bit of trouble hooking up the panniers on the rack, and then you came up with a solution. What was the problem so people know about it?
On this particular recumbent, the racks, the diameter of the tubes on the racks is quite a bit thicker than most rack tubes. And the panniers I have, the hooks on them wouldn't fit. My panniers are from Mountain Equipment Co-op here in Canada. And I found out that they sell a replacement kit of hooks with a larger diameter to fit the larger diameter racks. And it's cost $6 to get it. And then you can just retrofit your old panniers to put these new hooks on. And so I was able to use my 11-year-old panniers and keep using them.
Yeah, it would be a real setback to get new panniers just because you have a new bike and your old bike was out of commission, right?
I mean, they're perfectly good panniers. They're still, in mint condition. I've had no problems with them in 11 years, and so it'd be a shame not to be able to keep using them just because of these little hooks.
That's great. So you installed the hook yourself?
My girlfriend and I installed them. She did most of the work.
Okay, Paul. Now, what are some interesting spots up there in Canada that people would like to go, because people down here, as like you mentioned, they do tours around the States, and they use the the resources you mentioned for getting information. Yeah, but Canada is a big country, and is there all the areas good for bike touring, to bike tourism, or there are areas that you have to be aware there are not many resources or I don't want to use the word dangerous, but the bike tourists should be warned about the dangers, or talking about Mother Nature and stuff.
Right. Certainly out west in the Rockies, I mean, you've got the grizzly bears and stuff you'd have to watch out for. I've never actually cycled out there, but lots of people do it, and you just have to be careful about hanging your food and stuff like that. Other than that, unless you're getting like way up north, there's always facilities and stuff, so it's not a problem.
Okay. What about preparing your food on the road? What do you use for cooking your meals when you are not into a restaurant or a sub shop? What is the equipment you use for your tours?
I've got the MSR pocket rocket stove. It's one of those stoves, little thing that just screws into the canister. And it works great. It's very easy to start. It's easy to control the temperature, so you can simmer or have it boiling. So it works really well. You just have to be able to find the canisters.
Okay. Hey, in terms of food, you bring most dry stuff like pasta or things that don't weigh much, and then you add water to cook. What do you use?
Yeah, mostly pasta and couscous and stuff like that. Stuff that's easy to cook with a single stove.
Couscous? What is that?
Couscous. It's like little pasta bits that sort of look like a rice, but it's actually a pasta.
Yeah,
but you can just put it in a bowl, take some boiling water, pour it in, let it sit for 5 minutes, and it's cooked.
That's good. That's good. We don't get that about that. That's why when you mentioned that, couscous, what's that? yeah, we have different stuff around here, and most of our stuff is heavy. Our food is here in the island in Puerto Rico. If you don't know where I come from, we tend to have very heavy breakfast and lunch and dinner. So I don't know. I'm surprised I don't weigh more than I do, but. It's different from the States that the most foods, depending, except on Louisiana. Louisiana is my favorite state on food, food wise. they have similar food to us, but it's kind of different. When we are going to do some kind of tour around here, it's hard to choose what to pack or what not to pack food wise. It's like food is always in our mind, It's right. The route is like 100 miles. Yeah. Well, what am I going to eat when I get there? It's different. It's different. But what else can you advise to bike cycle tourists to bring as much food as they can, but at the same time keep things light according to your experience?
Food is heavy. So you don't want to have too much of it. So assuming you're touring in a populated area, I usually just have food for a couple days and then, just buy more as I go.
Okay, so planning is very important in facing the cycle tourism. Planning to bring just a minimal stuff just in case, and then get your other stuff down the road, right?
Right. Yeah, it's good to have, some backup food in the bottom of your pannier, but you look at the maps and see, hey, there's probably going to be a grocery store here, and so you just plan for that.
Yeah, I read that you've been to New Zealand, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about it. If a cycle tourist from the States or from Canada wants to go out to a place like that, how do you manage to bring your stuff there? You know, the bike, how you send your bike, how you bring your stuff. Is there any customs things that we need to be aware about?
The main thing to do with customs you have to worry about is because New Zealand is isolated, they want to keep their environment pure. So they don't want any contamination. So if you bring in your bike or your hiking shoes or anything like that, you have to make sure that there's no dirt on it at all before you bring it in.
Okay. But besides that, see, continue.
And the other thing is, you can't bring any food into the country as well.
Okay. That's understandable. Yeah, that's understandable. But and when you were down there, how many people were you with you at the tours?
There were three of us, and on that particular tour, I spent a year traveling around the world. So at that point, I didn't have my bike with me, so I actually just rented a bike in New Zealand. But my friends came from Toronto, and they brought their bikes with them. And my one friend brought my panniers with him for me to use while I was there.
Okay. How many miles? How many miles did you ride when you went to New Zealand?
I've never actually sat down and figured that out.
You
We
just,
spent
huh?
6 weeks cycling there, and I keep meaning to actually calculate the distances we did, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. You know, with this 21st century stuff, we tend to rely on gadgets and keep tabs and everything. And sometimes I have come to think on this day and age that sometimes we like are not are missing the important thing that is the tour itself, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even have a cycle computer. And there are people that have them, and they spend all their time staring at the numbers on the computer, and they don't see the scenery around them.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Okay, so just to wrap this thing up, is any other thing, any other story, funny stories? You know, but we're not just talking about equipment and tours. We like the experience of the tour. Do you have any funny stories that you can share with us?
Well, let's see.
Dig your memory, dig your
Yeah.
memory.
Well, the most interesting was the very first tour I did. I cycled with two guys I had never met before. And one of the guys, he was just sort of slightly out of sync with reality. And so he was good on the flats. He was very fast on the flats, but he didn't have a granny gear, so he was very slow going up hills. But he was scared of going downhill, so he was slower going downhill than he was going uphill. He had no sense of direction at all. So every turn we'd have to stop and wait for him so he wouldn't get lost. He always ate with his mouth open and made all these gross, disgusting sounds.
Yeah,
By the end of the tour, he was driving me crazy.
yeah, we won't mention his name just to protect his anonymity. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Okay. So, Paul, it's been great to have you here at the podcast to wrap up this year. It's been a great year since we started back at August. If you heard listened to the Christmas show. It was a very short program, just like 7 minutes, just to keep it short. I was just preparing to go to my parents' home, my sister's, to have a little party over there. So I just keep it simple. But I would like to add you to the list of tourists that we interview during the year. And I hope that 2007 bring us a good year, cycling wise and tourist wise. And I wanted to thank you for being here, and ask you to keep your ears open here to the podcast. And thank you again. So any closing words you would like to give to our audience about this stuff, and or any other salutations you would like to do to some family members or that are far away, or friends, feel free to say hello to everybody. Okay.
All right. I'd just like to say thank you and good luck on your podcast. I've been listening to all of them. It's really great what you're doing here. And just everybody out there, you know, cycle touring is a great way to see the country, and it's something that anybody can do. If you can ride a bicycle, you can do bicycle touring, and it's, as I said, a great way to see the country at a pace where you can actually experience the country.
Okay, so thank you, Paul, and to all our audience. Remember, he has his journals, the Crazy Guy on a Bike. Do you have a title, or you can just search by his name, Paul Stockton, and all the tours will come up. And do you have any other resource on the web from your tours?
Crazy Guy on the Bike, you can go to crazyguyonabike.com/Paul Stockton, and you can find me that way. My personal website, which has my Round the World tour plus link to my bicycle tours, is roundtheworld.ca.
Okay. So thank you very much, Paul, and thank you again. So to our cycling tourists, 2006 is coming to an end. This will be the last show of the year. Thank you very much for being with us, and stay with us on 2007. And remember to check the podcast and be aware that we have some upcoming tours on January. So you have to keep your ears peeled have a track of these tours. And also we're going to have some great interviews, and we are going to have more inter-show news about equipment reviews, and we are going to cover many other stuff that we're not been covering since we started. We have been doing most of the time interviews, but we are going to focus more on equipment and equipment reviews and user experiences. So say goodbye, Paul. So to wrap this thing up.
Bye.
Okay, bye. This is Bike Tourist Podcast. My name is Gabriel. Remember the phone, the podcast phone, 206-339-4425. Leave your opinion over there. This is a voicemail, so you can leave your comments there. And if you want to contribute to the show, remember there is a donations icon in the page. We got finally the icon over there. So if you a buck or two, I don't care. It's just if you want to keep the show running. And also check the links on the links page and visit all the good stuff we have over there. And if you have suggestions for the show, you would like to appear on the show to be interviewed, you have been doing some touring, just drop me a note. You don't have to be a big tourist or being on a great cause for doing tour, just for the pleasure of it, and we want to hear about it. So this is Bike Tourist Podcast. My name is Gabriel. Goodbye.